worthy is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. My God, aren't you glad about it this morning? To know that we serve a God who cared enough about us to send his only begotten Son to Calvary's cross that he might die, that we might yet live. Oh, that's a good thing this morning. I'm loving the Spirit of the living God that has shown up in this house on this Sunday morning, this Lord's Day. Isn't it good to know that you are still alive and kicking, as they say? Isn't it good to know that you can still be among the land of the living? Isn't it still good to know that you have blood running warm in your veins? Doesn't it excite you this morning to know that you can still give God a shout of praise? And he woke you up this morning, called you in your right mind. Isn't it good to know this morning that God loves you, that God cares about you, that he has kept you, that he has never left you? Oh, we got some good news this morning in the house this morning. Oh, yes, we do. We praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yes, yes, yes. And I thank you all. Thank you all this morning for just sharing in this time with me. I certainly count it a joy and a privilege to stand before you all this morning and to speak a word of truth into your lives that come from none other than this book that I hold here in my hand. I know you all have a copy of that same book that I have, and I know you all read it and have read it from cover to cover. Amen, somebody. And so now you are ready and more equipped to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord our Father. Amen. On this particular Sunday, as we call this our Education Sunday, you have heard the reading of the text this morning, and I'm going to get into that. I pray that this is a word that might help somebody. It might be just one person. I don't know. Amen. I don't know. I was a bit challenged here this morning, but the Lord is still good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And what I don't tell you, I pray the Holy Spirit will. Amen. Somebody. Amen. And so you heard the reading of this word that has come out of the book of Daniel this morning. So let us go into a word of prayer. Holy Father, we do come before you thanking you and just blessing you and magnifying your holy and your righteous name today, God, because you are so worthy, O Lord. God, if we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough, God, but we come and to do what we can, O God, to let you know how much we love you and adore you, O God. Thank you, Lord, for making the way easy for us every now and then, O God, helping us to understand that there ain't no mountain high enough and no valley low enough, oh God, that will keep you from reaching us. We thank you right now, God. God, I stand before you to say thank you for allowing me to stand behind this desk here where I may be able to preach a word in and out of season, where I may be able to help somebody to better understand, oh God, that it is in you that we live, we move, and we have our being. We thank you right now, God, that the word go forth, oh God, that somebody may hear and be saved. Amen and amen. Bless God. Bless God. You have heard Reverend Veronica has given you the title of the message that the Lord has given me for such a time as this. And that is none other than exceptional abilities from an exceptional God. Can I hear you say amen in the house? You see, today we are recognizing those around us who have or who are students. Mm-hmm. Some of you are just getting started. We called out little Nick today, and he is just getting started on his journey. Yeah. Amen. And then we have some others have been in the classroom for some time. Amen. Somebody, they waiting for that day. Hallelujah. When they will take that walk across the stage, as we like to refer to it. Some some of you now have just completed the level of education. Now, come on here, Caden, that you can say, I am D-O-N-E. I'm done. And now you have your high school diploma in your hand to prove it. Amen. If anybody asks, say, bam, here it is. I did what I went to do. You see, and now, you and others who have graduated can either go off to higher learning or maybe go off into military service, or there's another option. You can go to that next phase of life that we call the labor force. Anybody had to get out into the labor force where you have to begin to make a way for yourself? I just want you all to know, young people, that you all got it real good. Some of you who don't have any bills, amen, don't have to worry about where the food is coming from, where the transportation is coming from. But life goes on and things will change, amen, somebody. And so you have gotten yourself to that place where you have some decisions to make. You have some options that are on the table presented before you. But can I just say this? You do need to make a decision, amen, somebody. You see, then we have some others. We have others who have reached beyond the foundational steps in their learning, but they have courageously and tenaciously taken the next steps to seek higher learning, either for personal enhancement or perhaps because promotions on the job may require it to be so. But wherever our students are on your path of learning, today we take a few moments to congratulate you and to encourage you in your accomplishment. Yes, we do. You see, it feels great. It feels really good to be able to promote it from one grade to the next. I remember getting that very last report card. Now, this wasn't yesterday, y'all. You know that. But I remember when you got that last report card for the last term, when it was just about time and school was letting out. We didn't have computers. See, they had to give it to you in a piece of paper. And they were right on there, promoted to whatever grade, and it would be signed by the teacher, and I would be so proud taking my report card home, taking it out of that little yellow-brown folder, whatever it was, and handing it over to my parents so that they could see that I had been promoted. It was a great time. It was a proud moment in your life when those things could happen. But some of us, even beyond that, you started out in higher areas of higher learning, and now you hold that degree in your hand. Amen, amen, and bless God. But we want you all to know that if you haven't already figured it out, that your RCM2 family is proud of you. Whether you are just starting out, you are at the beginning, whether you are somewhere in the middle, or you are at the end of your formal journey of learning. But I also want you all to know this is a free piece of nugget I'm going to give you, and that is, I want you to know and to understand that life is a classroom. Amen. Life is a classroom. And it will continue to offer you lessons whether you want them or not. Come on, somebody. I know I got somebody who can co-sign with me. Whether you are ready or not. And I'll take it another step further. Whether you like it or not. Amen, 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 somebody. See, wherever you find yourself, this is a nugget. I could probably say this and then sit down and take my seat. But I want you all to remember that wherever you find yourself, remember God is with you.
Amen.
Yeah. You see, and let me tell you that you can accomplish great things in his name. As a matter of fact, I can go as far as to say you were created.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
You were created to accomplish great things in His wonderful name. And so here we are this morning as we take a look here. You know, I'm not used to using paper. But here we are this morning. I am not here just to pump up our students this morning who find themselves somewhere on the continuum of our educational system. But I really do pray that this message that God has given will land on all of us who are in the midst. Amen, somebody. Amen. You see, as I was set to prepare for this morning's message and what God would have me to deposit into your hearts, I landed in an Old Testament book that we have already lifted up for your hearing in the book of Daniel. I know most of you, if you've been around church for a while, if you've been around the Bible for a while, if you've ever been to Sunday school, you probably have heard of a boy named Daniel. You see, Daniel was considered in biblical terms as a major prophet, and his writings can be found among other major prophets like the prophet Isaiah, or the prophet Ezekiel, or the prophet Jeremiah. I know you all know those guys that we have heard about and studied and read about. They have done great things. But Daniel was one. He was one of those people who was an interpreter of dreams, and he did so for King Nebuchadnezzar. You can find that in Daniel chapter number 2. And Daniel was the guy who had been thrown in the fiery furnace with his boys. You all remember Shadrach, Meshach, amen, and Abednego, okay? And they got put in the fire. They said that the fire was turned up 7 times hotter just because they refused to bow down to a 90-foot statue that was created in the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. Amen, somebody. And so we can read that in Daniel chapter 3. Now, if none of those rings a bell for you, I know you know about Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den. Come on, somebody. Because they want to find out if Daniel's God was big enough and bad enough, come on now, to hold the mouths of the lion shut all night long. Hallelujah. Or when they went to check on him in the morning, would Daniel have been ripped to shreds? You can find that in Daniel chapter number 6. But hold on, church, because I got to tell you that God had his hand on Daniel. Yes, he did. You see, it doesn't take long. Even when you open up the book of Daniel, you can see that Daniel was a major player in the kingdom of God, even in his youth. Oh, I'm talking to young people this morning, that you too can be a major player in the kingdom of God, even as you are young and growing in stature and in knowledge. You see, we learned early in the book of Daniel that Daniel actually was snatched. He was stolen. He was seized from his home when King Nebuchadnezzar had decided that he was going to take over where he lived and bring Daniel over to where he lived. You see, we see it right in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1, that during the reign of Jehoiakim's third year as the king of Judah, which is where Daniel lived, that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and seized it.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's a bad thing now. We need y'all to understand that this was not the work of the devil.
That's right.
But it was allowed by God that they would come
come and they would take some of those sacred objects out of the temple of God, and then they would take them to Babylon and place them in the treasure house of his God. Small g.
Yeah.
I need to make that clear.
Right.
You see, after taking some of those sacred items, the king starts to call for some people. He said, I want you to bring me some young men from Judah's royal family, you know, some nobles, some people of some stature, and I want them to become captives of Babylon. That's not sounding real great already. I'm talking about early in the book, early in the chapter, we see that now Daniel and others are being captivated by the king and taken into a strange land. He said, I want these men to be strong, I want them to be healthy, and I want them to be easy on the eye. Yeah. Some of us been asking for that kind of men. Yeah. Come on now. Send me that kind too. Amen, somebody. You see, not only did they check all the boxes from the physical standpoint. We check boxes. We do. But the king wanted them to be smart. It's no good, really. It's no good. I need to tell young people, it's no good just to have somebody who looks good, but can't find their way out of a paper bag.
A wet
paper bag. I'm saying you gotta have something going on up here. We don't want you to bring around folks that we look at them and say, well, the lights are on, but ain't nobody home. Amen, somebody. And so the king was looking for those who had an ability to learn so he could train them in the ways of Babylon, hoping to use them in the royal service for his country. So this is the beginning of God sending people. You hear what I said? God sent people into exile as he promised. When the children of Israel broke faith and the covenant that they had with God. As I'm telling you all, that they acted up. They acted out. Uh-huh. They act like they didn't know God. Mm-hmm. You see people who in church, they act one way. Oh, God. Uh-huh. But when you see them over there, you wonder, huh? I think I see you over there. Was that you? Yeah. So we got this situation here where these people who are supposed to be faithful unto the Lord, but we find them in a situation now where they have broken faith. And God says, okay, I had enough. I am a promise keeper. And I promised you that if you didn't get your act together, that you would land over there in a strange land. Uh-huh. See, can I tell you all that this was not vacation? Uh-huh. It wasn't something that they even signed up for, but it was a situation that they were in that God had allowed. Well, we understand sometimes that God places us in some difficult situations. And we wonder, and often we blame it on the enemy. We say it got to be the adversary. But every now and then, Pastor Keith, the Lord will have us in a space, hallelujah, that we wonder, where is this coming from? But I want you all to understand, in my feeble attempts here this morning, I'm trying to paint a picture for you, so you will understand that Daniel and his friends were moved from home to a place that wasn't. Can you imagine what that must have felt like for Daniel? Daniel was in a place where everything was foreign. Nothing was familiar, not the language, not the history, not the food, and especially not the gods. Little G. Babylon was a flourishing flourishing place. Yeah, Babylon had stuff going on, but Babylon was a place of pagan religion. What am I saying to you? I'm telling you that Babylon was a place where they served many gods. You don't know anything about that, but that's what Babylon was. They did not serve the God of Israel. They did not serve the one true and living God. They did not understand that the Israelites were under a covenant with God was to only serve God and not a whole lot of other gods. So we can see that Daniel and his buddies are already in some kind of a predicament. In other words, they got a big problem on their hands. Can I tell you that it was looking kind of hopeless for Daniel and the nation of Israel right about now? I'm sure they felt some kind of helpless as Jerusalem actually was eventually destroyed destroyed and they are in this strange land. So what was home now is no longer the home that you knew. I have lived long enough. I've lived long enough, Sister Leona, to understand that sometimes we can find ourselves in a strange land and we haven't left the house. Life circumstances can have us feeling like we are someplace we've never been. We see things that are happening that we've never experienced. Life can seemingly get to a place where it feels like it is spinning out of control. And it seems that no matter how hard you try, you can't get your feet back on solid ground. Church, but I am persuaded this morning that even when we find ourselves in strange territory, come on somebody, that we can still make progress, that we can still achieve success and impact the kingdom of our God. In other words, what you can achieve is greater than you are. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody already. I just want to give you just a couple of points and then I'm out of the way. But I want you all to understand that as we move further in the text, that our first point I want you to understand is that it begins with godly obedience. That's where the starting point is. You see, let me show you this morning in the text. When we drop down to verse number 17 in our text, it reminds us that God gave these four young men, I'm talking about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, an unusual aptitude. That's what the New Living Translation calls it. And what that means is God had given them a readiness for quick learning. He had given them a level of intelligence that was mind-boggling. They could understand things that did not come easy for your average Joe, amen, somebody, or your average Jane, but God had touched them in a way that they were able to comprehend every aspect of literature and wisdom that came their way. And he gave Daniel an ability to interpret visions and dreams. How many of you all know that during the time when Daniel was alive, it was important for visions and dreams to be interpreted, amen, somebody, because that is how God would get his message through to people to let them know what was happening or what was coming so they might be prepared. And God had touched Daniel in such a way that he was able to do that which was going to be needed. Sometimes we don't even know we're going to need something that God has instilled in us until later on down the road. I'm talking to somebody this morning. morning. I'm talking to somebody. I'm helping you. You may be in a situation where you don't even know why you're learning what you are learning, but I promise you that God will use it somewhere in your life. Yeah, even the stuff that you don't really even like, the stuff that you don't may not even enjoy, you be asking God that, why am I doing this? And hallelujah, but he will show you after a while. I just ask you all to have some patience and let God show you why he is teaching you what he's teaching you. But can I tell you that these students, I'm talking about those four students, their success began with obedience unto our God.
That's right.
You see, they refused. They refused to eat the king's food. If you look back in the text, early on in the text, they decided that they could exist on a diet of water and vegetables. Amen, somebody. See, that's how we come to understand the Daniel fast.
That's right.
And when we read the text, we find out that 10 days later, when they were examined, Daniel and his friends, they looked better than the guys who had ate from the king's table.
That's right. Say it.
Because, see, I understand. I come to understand, though, that it was more. It had to be more than just diet.
Right.
Had to be more than just diet. You see, it was a determination that they had to trust and obey God, even in a strange land. Help me, somebody. See, the learning was unfamiliar. The literature was unfamiliar. Yet, reaching for the wisdom that God had was what they were determined to do.
Yeah.
How many times have you needed to reach for godly wisdom when you found yourself in a difficult place? Have you ever? I'm talking to the most recent students. Have you ever found yourself in a place where the teacher is trying to teach you a new concept? Teacher's trying to teach you some new crazy looking formula, and you don't have a clue what in the world is going on. You look in there, you looked at it at school, you looked at it at home, you looked at it online, and you still say, this thing is getting by me. You're trying to grab something that seemingly is getting out of your reach. But somehow, I see him do it in my life, Reverend Veronica. Somehow, some way, God helps you to master that which you thought you could never master. Come on, Sister Elaine, let the Lord know. You give him a shout of praise this morning because you are one who went back to school into an academic environment after being away for a very long time. Amen, somebody. But the hand of God helped you to master it. Hallelujah. And even now, sometimes to our own surprise, we're like, okay, I get it now. I got it now. And we are happy and we give God praise. We thank God for being obedient to the study, hallelujah, of what it is he has us to study. My brothers and my sisters, whether you are in elementary school or in the school of life, I want you to remember you should always place obedience to God in the forefront of your learning, as he will be a key component, I guarantee you, to your success.
Yes.
You see, Daniel probably had no idea, as I told you, that there would come a day that he would have to interpret the dreams and the visions of this strange king in a strange land, among strange people, in a strange language, with a strange history.
Go ahead.
All of the things that he was not familiar with, but that he needed the skill to do, God had already provided. Oh, I'm so glad that we serve an exceptional God. Who can bring things to us before we know we need it.
That's
how he works. Oh, I'm a witness. My second thing I'm going to tell you is this, and then I'm going to move on, Pastor Keith. Can I tell you this?
Go ahead.
Don't reject training. When we look at verses 18 through 20 in our text, we see a shining example of the positive impact of training. I know. We can be honest here. I know some of us really do not enjoy studying.
That's right.
That's how it goes. Some of us don't like other people telling us what to do.
Well,
some of us don't really like following directions or instructions. But we see in the text that it starts out telling us that after the training, after their learning, after the exposure, after the experience, the young men were fit for the task that had made such an impression on their king. I'm talking about a king in a strange land. I'm talking about a king who served many gods. He knew nothing about Daniel, Meshach, and all the rest. Knew nothing about their God, but they took on the learning, even in a strange land. The Bible tells us that whenever the king consulted with the four young men, he found that they displayed wisdom. And I'm not talking worldly wisdom. I'm not talking Babylonian wisdom. But I'm talking godly wisdom. How many of you realize that the state that we are in, I'm talking about the state of our state, the state of our nation, the state of this world in which we reside, how many of you know that we can't get enough godly wisdom infused into the atmosphere?
Amen.
How many of you understand that godly wisdom is what we're going to need, and godly wisdom is available to us? I'm glad about that this morning. You see, the New Living Translation says that these guys exhibited balanced judgment. I like that balanced judgment. You see, it says that they operated in a manner in which the king needed at the time. You see, I'm just telling somebody, you may find yourself in a place that you don't really like, but God can still use you with the people that he has surrounded you with. I'm just telling you, and you are going to look like, they're going to look at you and say, wow, look at those exceptional abilities that he shows. Look at those exceptional abilities that he shows. They must serve an exceptional God. Oh, I think I'm on to something this morning. I think I'm on to something, even though I'm telling you that they were in that strange land with strange customs and strange gods. They received those exceptional exceptional gifts, exceptional learning, because their exceptional God met them there.
Yes.
Can I just say this? And I just want to say this real quickly, that training here is a time of preparation. See, some people don't think that training is necessary. They don't think it's necessary, especially in areas of ministry. But I recall Pastor Jeffrey Johnson putting it this way. He said, the call to ministry is the call to prepare. He said, we should never think that we are so in tune with God that we don't need training.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. And I'm glad this morning, church, I'm glad that at RCM too, we understand the value of being trained for what God is calling you to accomplish.
Yes.
It is the training that's important.
Amen.
And so I say to you this morning, I say to our students, I say to ours who have finished, don't reject the training.
Amen.
Because you see, when those four boys went through training, even in a strange land, the Bible says that when Daniel and his boys finished their training, that by the time we get down to verse number 21, Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. And so we bless God this morning for the obedience. We bless God that they accepted and did not reject the training that the Lord had made possible unto them. And I say to all of you this morning, wherever you find yourself on the continuum of learning, to make sure that you hold on to that godly obedience and make sure you take care to hold on to the training that's coming your way. And the people of God who heard and understood, let me hear you just say, amen, amen, and bless God. An exceptional abilities that was given from that exceptional God. How many of you all know this morning that in each of you there are exceptional abilities? I don't care if people have told you you can't. I don't care if people tell you that you don't have what it takes. I'm telling you, when you hold on to God's hand, there's no telling what he can do through you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. Just keep on holding to God's exceptional hand. Oh, my, my, my. I thank God this morning for the example that Daniel and those Hebrew boys have shown us this morning.